Dream it, believe it, become it. And hold on, Spencer, before you say anything else, you're late again, fam.
Oh, shut up, man. You're
late again.
Sunday, by the time I walk from one side of my house to the other, I'm tired, you know.
James, hear him.
Didn't I say that to you?
James said the same thing.
We get lost in, man. Trust me.
James said the same thing. All right, suspense. You know it goes. Dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on down. It's a pleasure and an honor to introduce our next guest, who's like a guard. He's booked the guardian. You know what I mean? And he's been a guardian angel to many a young up and coming people. He's looked up to so many people. I remember the first time I ever met James Cook was 1989 at Notting Hill Carnival when he was working with the kids. And I said, right, you're James Cook. And he was like, yes, my P, how are you doing? Right? And to see this man at the time went on to become a British and a European champion. And at the time when he did it, he said that he had three managers, the good, the bad and the terrible, right?
Yeah,
I remember everything, James. So to see James Cook on the show now, James Cook, who's like a bigger brother, who's now working with my brother, my twin brother, you know what I mean? But we're not identical twins, but now you're working with my twin brother. It's just an honor to have a legend in James Cook MBE. Round of applause, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the one and only James Cook, MBE. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
James, you know what? I'm gonna let Spencer. What up in the background?
That's Jimmy Cook.
James, you know that one of them. You know them kebab man. One of them kebab man with a mustache. Yeah, love it. But yeah, Spencer, you are the man tonight with the questions, because I know, you know, James. All right, I'll tell you a quick story. James, what you don't know is before me and Anthony sat down and, you know, said, listen, let's bring in James Cook, the first person I rang was Spencer. And Spence, tell him the story, Spence.
Yep. I just come back from Dubai. I was working for ESPN for the Jamal Herring Carl Frampton fight. I just got back from Dubai and you had to do hotel quarantine for 11 days. So I'm in there. Me and Tundi always speak about 5 o'clock in the morning. When then people are sleeping, we're working. We're studying, we're working out plans to mash up the system. Right? Bondo Babylon, right? So when they're talking and like, We're talking about the yard fight, the backlash that Tundi was getting, a ridiculous backlash. But you know what I mean? You know how it goes. You know what I mean? We used it as he was our balloon, and we showed that Saturday night. And it was like, we were there talking. He said, yeah, you know what? Boy, you know what, Spence? We're going to make some changes, you know? He said to me like, what do you think about James Cook? Right? I said, James Cook? James Cook's the soundest person that he could be. Because I know from back in the day when man was doing bits on the road, James was the bunker, right? So James, I said, he's an honourable man. He's honest. James is an honest one. I can only take as I find. So James is honest. You know what I mean? He's got that crossover appeal. And he's not a man that's trying to hog limelight. I said, that'd be the best thing you could do to have him in there. Because all he's going to do is just add little subtleties and little nuances inside of the game. You don't need to change anything. All you're doing is improving it. And he said, yeah, for real. He goes, all right, say nothing, Spence. Give me the number. I said, don't worry, I'm going to talk to James. I phoned James. I said, James, what do you think about Anthony Yard? He's a good fighter, you know me, P. He's a good fighter. Dangerous. I'm telling you, he could have knocked out the boy with one hand. Right. Go back to it. I said, listen, James is the guy, you know. Then I gave Tun the number, and the rest is history. And the nicest thing is that I'm seeing lions in the camp. Tundi's still a young lion. Talking to another young lion in Antiyard. Now we've got an old lion. You understand? And I remember when James used to cuss everyone when their head was going bald. And now look what happened to James.
Friends, you know what? I look at my dad the other day. He's 85 and he's still got this bush of hair on him. And I look at him and say, you sure I'm yours?
Spencer, fire away some questions. Because I know the people want
to
hear.
Going to the showers to find out if he's dad's his dad.
Well, boy, we have to because, you know, if Spence seems like me, so me know. You know, yeah. Go.
Spence, no. Man, fire some questions for the people who want to know about James.
Yeah, your career, as the way this thing is like, the groundsman for the complex where I'm living now, he was saying, yeah, James Cook, because he said, oh, I watched a yard fight. He said, yeah, James Cook used to be down at Latchmore, innit?
That's right, yeah.
See? Right? The groundsman, you know? He said, man, he said, Cookie could fight, you know? But they used to have him terrible in back in the day because the fights, what people don't realize is that one of the best middleweight, super middleweights to come out of this country is Michael Watson. But do you know that James Cook beat Michael Watson?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Right. James Cook beat Michael Watson. I remember I was asking James, like, who are the hardest punches he ever been in with? And he said, Harold Graham and Michael Watson. But man don't realize James Cook beat Michael Watson. That is a big, because I don't think you understand. Like back then, Michael Watson never won the London ABAs. He never won the full ABAs. And that's when the ABAs was a big thing. We're going back 1983, when ABAs was a big thing. But he did win the National Boys Club Association. And he won it consecutive times as well, Michael Watson. And here was James Cook, yeah, with his afro and his rope-like arms and his tall self. Because James is very tall for a middleweight, you know?
Very.
Seriously, James is very, very tall for a middleweight. And like, and he beat Michael Watson, and you felt like, well, things are going to open up for him. But then all of a sudden, James Cook became the Who Needs Him Club. He was ahead of it. Like, we don't really need to mess around with it because James Cook could fight. You know what I mean? James Cook challenged for the British title, unsuccessful against Harold Graham. And what people don't realize is that Harold Graham is British boxing's greatest fighter never to win a world title.
110%.
Right?
I agree with that.
Well, of course. But James was learning his trade because he sparred with good men. James Cook used to spar with John the Beast Mugabe when John the Beast was the Beast, Tundi. Right? And I said to James, what's your punchy power like? He said, you think I'm stupid? I never used to steal their spits. I just jab and move. But John Mugabe was serious, you know? Yes. When John Mugabe would hit you, you know that you got hit.
Yes, sir.
So those, what James Cook did, those man was like foundation. And then it's just like, it just things started to happen. Then he won a British Superman crown. Then he challenged for the European crown. And then he had like a 2-year hiatus where he earned good money, looked after his family first. You know what I mean? Invested in his wife. That's where you have to rate, man. Because lots of people get things and they don't invest in themselves. They certainly don't invest in their partners. Invested in his wife. So James Cook's a legend because his wife had the hairdressers and everybody used to go to her hairdressers. You know what I mean? Everybody. I used to go this Saturday and check beer girl out there.
Come on. Spencer, stop chat, man. I want to hear from the man himself. James, you know, it's coming like it's a Spencer Fearon interview. Is that James? Hold on, wait there. Big up Bobby Wright. Thank you for the $17.99 donation from you, sir. He says, enough love. Guys, respect James Cook. Come on. Big up Bobby Wright. Thank you for the donation. But James, we've just listened to Spencer speaking for the last 10 minutes. And we want to hear from you. We want to know a bit about yourself. And, you know, let's let's talk about, you know, your input and how you feel, you know, you've added to our team and what experience you bring. You know, you've been in the game a long time. You know, I know you have a wealth of experience, which is obviously why we called on to you. But just tell us, you know, the subtle things and movements and the type of training that you've helped with us thus far.
Well, the thing is, Tunde, like I said, you know, I keep telling people, you've done well with Anthony, you know, and for you to come out yourself and say, you know what, you've gone this far and without any help, and you just need that little bit of experience. And I'm glad that, you know, both of you sit down and then decide to call me, because the thing is, with people over here, you know what I mean, though you've done it and seen it, you know, some of us don't even get where we are. People don't even understand boxing. You understand me? Lyndon Arthur got beat, you know, and Lyndon Arthur probably will be feeling sick and feel probably rubbish. But listen, the same way he felt is the same way I fought when I fight Robert McGraham. I think I let my people down. I think I was rubbish. And as Spencer said, I was learning the trade. I was like going up to box a gentleman. But I think I was a gentleman in that fight. But then after that fight, I realized you don't have to be a gentleman. And if you notice, I said to thinking about, don't go out there and play pretty. Don't be pretty.
Yes.
Because this is what Lyndon Arthur want. You understand me? I think at the end of the day, he's done his work. You know, look, Spencer will tell you, I don't think Tunde did realize Finsbury Park. I mean, Spencer been down there a few times because obviously he run with me down there, you know? But yes. Tunde probably didn't expect. But the fact is that Tunde as a coach and a manager come out and say, you know what, let me go see what's in Finsbury Park. So to be honest, if my fighter said to me, I am going training with Tunde going running, I probably would have been in my bed and say, yes, Tunde carry him running. But the fact that you come out to see what was going on, you know, and that's how you learn off each other. You understand
and
me?
Can I just say, at that first running session, what we did, I remember I tapped you and I said, James, this is what we've been missing.
You did, yeah.
This is what we've been missing.
You know, and I said from day one, you know, it didn't have to, you know, there's no big change need to happen, because when you're too close to a fighter, sometimes you don't see what's happening. You know, and because, like you said, I'm the third man, I see what's happening. I see the little mistake, what's he probably making when he chuck a shot, or when I chuck. And as you know, watching the pads work and everything else, when he's in a position, I will say, listen, that can happen now. You're in that position, so this can be chucked, you know. So it's just basically tightening up little things. And, you know, you've got to be a certain level to win certain fight. Yeah, you've got to be in certain condition to win certain fight. When he's fighting for the world title, the training go up 3 times more. You know, the fact that, you know, he's done his work, he's done the training. Listen, we tell everybody, we already had a plan in our head what we was going to do, yeah?
Yes.
No, we know what he was going to do, but the fact that we expect him to start 70 miles an hour, he start 90. Yeah. So, he was in good condition to do that. You know, there's certain things like your cut down. We talk about getting warm up, oil warm up, and everything just coming nice. Warm up was nice, it wasn't too much, so everything was just right. So he feel good when he went out there, and that's why he started so fast and done the job.
Yeah, can I just say one of the things that James was on at me about after, you know, because James's first fight with us was the Birmingham fight, which obviously Ant was back to his best, and that was a one-round KO. But after the fight, you know, and then we went running the following week, James said to me, look, Tun, it was something I wanted to say to you in the change room. Like, calm down with the power punches. You understand? With Ade, because I don't really do the power punches because, you know, I'm more flow. And James was saying to me, look, what you do on the pads, that's enough. Hold back the power punches in the dressing room, because every power punch you throw in the dressing room is one less power punch in the fight. And that piece of knowledge there, I believe, is something that definitely helped us, you know, definitely helped Anthony. He was very relaxed. I've never seen him that relaxed. And I put that down to you and your golden piece of advice.
Because what I noticed in that fight is like, I've never seen y'all start that early.
Mm.
never, ever, ever have I seen him star that early. You know, like when like Pat Barrett and the rest of the team were sitting there saying, yeah, he's going to come out fast, he's going to come out fast. That wasn't coming out fast, you know. That was some Usain Bolt business. You know what I mean?
Me and that James was like, bro, we're expecting to start fast, but no, but that flurry at the end, bro, from that round four started, Ant's hands was the quickest I've ever seen them.
Even Richie Woodall was saying it.
Is the quickest, yeah, he said it. Richie Woodall said it.
I big up Richie. I mean, I rate him as a commentator. You know what I mean? He the way Ant started, I said, look at this. The way he started, and the thing about it is this, I'm not sitting there saying, oh, well, he's going to blow out. Because he started too fast.
No, could have done that for 15 rounds, because he was doing it in sparring.
I know the graph he was doing prior, just with you. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is this also, is you got to think, like, when Tundi come in boxing, he never really had no teachers around him. And you got to think, you came into boxing, you come out early, you know? From the time, like, you was a pro for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So you came in early because you never had no real amateur career. You went down the lane, you had a few fights, and then you turned pro. So you never had them old man pulling you. You never really had those relationships with the fight fraternity guys who are whispering in your ear, or you're picking up little things in the change room, or you didn't have that. So for what you've amassed, Tun, right? Anyone who's not congratulating you is hating you.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know what? Like, you're totally right, Spence. You know, the thing is, at the end of the day, you know, I'll say it over and over. If you don't know boxing or you don't understand boxing, you understand me? Internet media, people could crucify you. You could, you know, people lose their life because of these people who've never been in boxing, never been in the game. Yes, you know, people probably run the world through that. But if you haven't been into a sport and done it, you know, you not understand it. These guys who probably crucify the man, as you said, you know, he hasn't had much fight, much experience, but he has done a great job on a young man. I mean, so you have to give him credit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Anybody who's not, you're a massive hater. You know what I mean? Because... Yeah,
but guess what? I don't want to turn this show into me.
No, we're not saying it's not
turning it into you, but at the end of the day, it's you why this thing's happening, whether we like it, yes or not. You understand me? Right. If you didn't ever do the job, what you've done, it wouldn't happen. So,
Thank you very much. You know what I mean? So, when I'm seeing that, it's like, it's kind of mad how, like, people, they don't want to give man flowers. I give James Cook flowers all the time. You know what I mean? Amazing. I think, guys, give people their flowers, because when you return, you're going to receive your own. Absolutely. But what happens is, enough people ain't got their florist. So, because you ain't got no florist, you can't get no flowers. So, you can't receive none either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, that's what I'm saying that on Tundi. But, like, with James Cook, I'm saying the turning point in James Cook's career, for me, when I was like, what was the night that you beat up Mark Kaler? You know what I mean? You want to elaborate on that fight for me, please, James? Because I know you used to spoil Mark.
You know what? Yeah, we used to spar together, you know, a lot. And part of the, you know, experience in sparring, you know, you never go there like a madman and show everybody your card or what you can do. You know what I mean? It used to be good sparring, and that was about it. You know what I mean? But on the night, the fact is, I even mentioned to Errol Christie before he fight Mark Kaler. I said, you're going to have problems with this boy. You know what I mean? I said, I told him, I said, you're going to have problems with him. If you're not in the condition where you're supposed to be, you cannot hold him off. You understand me? And, you know, say done. Because, like I said, I spar with him. So, listen, I, you know, to be quite honest, I think I'm probably even overtrained for Mark Kaler. You understand me? You know, I got a sparring partner from Sheffield, and I was paying him like 10 pound rounds, and I think for a week he beat me up. I mean, I'm 10 pounds to get beat up, 10 pounds around. So, like, you know, but and then so the experience is like in boxing, there was an old boy sitting down next to me, and he says to me, Cook, you need to take a couple of days off rest. And I thought, can't do that. The fight is a week away, you know what? And sometimes when you see these old people around boxing, if you can learn something from them, and I took the 2 days, and it put me out, I felt perfect, I felt good. Anything Mark wanted to bring, I was there, and it's just like Antonio the other night, you know? Don't forget, he lost on points, yeah? By one round, you understand me? His head wasn't right, you understand me? We got it in his head that, you know what, forget about the pretty stuff, you know? You know, if you stayed with this man to box him all day, it'll be nice, you know? And I understand the way Lyndon Arthur is feeling, yeah? Like I says, he feel, I beat this man before, and I can do it again, but it was a different Anthony Yardi turn up, you know? He turned the heat on him, so he was sort of shocked and really didn't know what to do. And in his head now, like me and Tony said, we had to make a plan. So once that plan went into action for the first two rounds, it was more or less over because we won the first two rounds, what we wanted to do, you know, and put his brains out of action, you know, you couldn't think.
Can I just say that, again, just going back to the point what you were saying about, you know, an old trainer in the corner telling you to ease off. There was another pivotal point in this camp where we had the press conference. And, you know, like both of you have alluded to and said, I've never had anyone to help me. You know, me and Anthony started this journey with relatively no experience. You know, I weren't no ABA champion or nothing. I had 5 amateur fights, but I've got a will and determination. And I guess Anthony has proven he has the same kind of will and determination. And that sort of drive has always made me and Anthony keep our foot on the pedal. We don't care. We don't care how tired we are. We're going gym. Every press conference me and Anthony have ever done, straight from the press conference, back to the gym. Spencer will tell you. And there was one pivotal point in this camp here where we had that infamous press conference and we were outside waiting for the taxis for James. And Ant said to me, yeah, we're going gym now, Unks. And for the first time, I had somebody that I can ask their opinion. And we turned to James and we said, James, you know, we've always gone gym after press conference. Always. Straight. No rest. And James said, listen, let me tell you. And James repeated that same story. And for the first time ever, me and Anthony never went gym after the press conference. We rested. We rested. And 2 days after, we never went to the gym the next day. Then we come back in the gym and Anthony was electric. And then I think, the last week before the fight, I phoned James because who's going to spar again? Because, bro, we're kamikaze. Me and Anthony, and this is the point where I'm saying why James, he ain't changed nothing. James, for me and for Ant, has just give us that wisdom which you can't buy. You know, James said to me, all right, ease him off now. Nothing more. You know, we went Frinsley Park the week before the fight. James just done a couple of runs with Anthony, sprints. He said, yeah, he's ready. And I thank you. I keep thanking you, James. You know me, man. I've never not wanted to listen to advice, but a lot of these guys that are coming with advice, they're not coming with no good heart, no good intention.
Put the words out my mouth. You took the words.
They're not coming with no good intention. And I've just thanked God and I thank James and I thank Spencer for the advice, you know, they've given us and our team. And James, I mean, I can talk all day long about how I feel about you, but, you know, continue talking, sir, because I'm going to keep listening because I take things in like a sponge. As you said, I help bring a young man to fight in a pound-for-pound fighter in his home country on my own. I was the captain. I never had nobody to talk to. Now, for the first time, I've got someone to ask their advice, and that's what James Cook has done for me and for Anthony and for the whole of our team. James?
Yeah. Go ahead, Spence.
Now I just see someone come up on the screen, but I'm doing it off on my phone. What did it just say? Just dropping to say for, I can't even see it, I ain't got glasses on.
Northside Manny says, thank you for the £5 donation. He says, just dropping in to say thank you for the inspiration, all three of you.
Yeah, yes,
sir. Thank you, sir.
It's James Cook, tell the people what you did in the amateurs, James.
Well, believe it or not, that was, I was an era champion twice. You know, got beat by Box for London. You know, and there was era champion, yeah, twice. And got beat by the same bloke, Johnny Graham, for St. Pancras. And that's when you start to learn boxing. And I think that's when my trainer said to me, if you're going to be robbed, you might as well get paid for it. You know, because, yeah, because I think there was Mickey Duff and them that was looking at Johnny Graham. You know, certain clubs had certain people, you know, coming from them. So that's how I went pro. And, you know, sometimes it's part of a learning experience because Al Hamilton was there and Al Hamilton introduced me to Billy Winter in Hackney. And then, went there, went pro with Billy Winter. And it's so funny, like, all the fighters, them, what the top guys, them, like Mickey Duff, I thought, I can't go with them because I want to fight these guys. But then, went with Billy, I realized Billy couldn't even get these fights neither. So all these fights I was chucked in to lose. A lot of people didn't realize I won 7 year champion title and beating TP Jenkins, who was unbeaten, you know.
Jenkins could fight. Was he from Battersea, yeah?
Yes, yeah, around that side, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that man, Tundi, that man could fight, you know.
Come on. Tundi, that Come man was on. A- Yo, James, I was looking at your shoulders on the interview today on the BT, and I said, Jesus Christ, this man like he can fling a combination right now and knock out everyone. I said, shit, come on. Yeah, I said, bruv, stamina for sale. Bruv, from top to bottom.
So then when you got all these girls chair around you, man, it's suspense. You got to stay in shape, man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
James, tell the people about the work that you have done and are doing with the young people, especially in the Hackney era. You know, I know one of the mentions of your MBE was the fact that you working in the notorious Murder Mile of Hackney, which I think at one point had the most killings and shootings there were in the whole of London. So just tell the people about your work.
You know, yeah, the thing is, as you guys know, I remember, you know, my dad started off, my dad was a plasterer, you know, and like I said, if I had help anyway through my career, my trainer was a guy named Jimmy Redwell.
Oh, no, sorry, James.
Yes,
you know this drink here?
You good? I've got plain water, bro. I know the drink, but I've got plain water. I spent some orange
juice. You guys taking the orange juice. Man, just bring out the sarsaparilla. So you know this drink here.
It's good. I could not buy you to collect some. No worry.
You have to pull it by.
Right, sorry.
His real name is
Sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
Sarsaparilla.
Yeah, you've got to learn the name, but you've got the name, Spence. You've got the name.
I'm an honorary Jamaican man now, you know that, innit? You know I'm an honorary yard man, so I'm part of the crew now, so I got to level up.
Yeah, don't worry, we're going to fix you up. Don't worry, we're going to teach you.
Anyway, sorry, James. Sorry to cut you.
Yeah, and then I got sort of, my dad was a builder, and then I remember him making cement with my dad, you know, and he looked at me like, boy, as first son, you're going to do this job. And the breeze hit me so hard. I look at my dad and I thought, hell no. And where I said they come in, my trainer used to run late at night and he used to say to me, Jimmy, take the class. You know, he used to work late and he used to phone me up. And believe it, yes, I had Spencer. You know, he used to probably, when I take the class, he used to probably give me something like £25. Now, £25 in the 70s was a lot of money. So I used to take the class teaching 14 and 16 year old and over. And when they leave, there was always a smile, you know? And I thought to myself, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to put a smile on people's face. And that's why, you know, everything I have and I do, you know, I've always phoned you guys and say, listen, calm down. These guys, the people them see you on a TV, radio, you're local, we do something. If you can help somebody out, that person will help somebody out. But, you know, we don't have to you know, because we know the experience, how we get there, you know, there's the next young person probably want to join us. I want to get there. So you guys know, if I invite somebody down and they don't turn up, I'm the first one to start to crucify them, because I think we all need help and guided in this world, and are we going to carry on? And, you know, this is me, you know, from day one, when I was 14, 16, saying, this is what I want to do. I want to help these young people, adults as well. And this is what I do, man.
Yes, sir. Spence?
Jimmy, when you won the British title, yeah? What kind of feeling did that give you?
You know what, Spence? When I boxed Errol Bama Graham, you know, like I said, I probably was feeling like the way Arthur is feeling. I thought I was rubbish. I thought I wasn't no good. I couldn't, you know, the people that was laugh after me, you know, people went up there to see me come back. So I understand the way Linda and Arthur is feeling, you know, but as you go along, you get to learn boxing. Spence, when I actually went to Belfast, you know, remember I went to Belfast, you know, so to win the British title. When we went up to Belfast, you know, stayed in a hotel, they said there was a Santex bomb inside the hotel. So we wake us up, we go out, you understand me? You know, and winning the British title to me was probably one of the greatest feelings in the world. And you know the reason why, Spence and Tunde? Because people did not expect me to win it, you know? And this is where the experience of, you don't look at social media, and if somebody writes something about you good, you read it and you laugh. And if they write something bad, you still read it and you laugh, you know? Mm. Because guy, I remember one reporter writes something and I challenge him, I says, this is not right. And he said to me, Cook, this is what we do. If we write this at 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 10 o'clock, somebody buy 10 copy, by 5 o'clock, we sell 50 copy, we're doing our job, you know? So that was a big experience to me straight away. So from then on, whenever anybody write anything, winner or loser, look at it, I read it and I smile, can't take it to heart. And it's the experience of probably, listen, at the end of the day, it's like this, yeah? Though you guys invite me into the camp, yeah, telling me all, I not agree with it still, but I think Tunde and Spence, I know Spence is a little bit older than me, but Tunde might be a bit older than me still, but Spence, you know where he's from, so I'm not saying nothing. he's looking good, yeah? Oh, when you get to that sort of thing, and when I went to Belfast, you know, and it's like I was a stranger in a world who you are coming to take, you know, to fight Sam Story, you know. The fight happened and I knocked Sam Story out in the 12th round. You know what, Spence? Tunde, when I was walking through the airport, two guys come towards me, two probably the biggest guy I ever see, and I thought, oh no, problems. These guys look at me and they said, mate, we watched your fight last night. Great stuff. They give me the biggest bottle of whiskey.
Come on.
London, you know. But winning the British, I've always said, you know, the British to me is probably one of the best titles in this world. If you can command the country where you're boxing for, whatever sport you're doing, if you can command that, that is almost like half of the world, you know. So winning the British was, you know, was like a world title to me, you know. So, you know, the European, I've always said it was my world title, you know. But winning the British, you know, it's the start of any belt in the world. You've got to win that before you can say, yeah. And yeah, to me, it was like, forget about any other else belt. The British, where nobody expected me to win, nobody gave me a chance. Yeah, so it was like a world title to me at the time.
James, can I just ask, you know, going back to a training question. Although it may be said that today's boxers may be more skilled or technical, I, for one, personally believe that mentally, the fighters from your generation and before were a lot more mentally stronger. Would you say that's to do with the mindset, the training, obviously mental mindset, yeah, but would you say it's to do with how people train, and how has training differed from your days to present? Because one of the things which was a real eye-opener to me on that first Sunday when I came running with you was how you split. I mean, I don't want to give people our training tinker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to let them know too much secrets,
yeah,
but
it was
how you did the running, how you mixed up, you know, the speed, the long distance, the speed, the hills, that. And I remember saying to you, like, James, remember that first sentence?
Yeah.
Are you man used to box punch for 15 rounds? And James said to me, me people, now I lie to you, you know, there's a run. He said, Spencer, know about the run. I said, yeah. But James said to us that Anthony's fitness shocked him and that he didn't need to do that run at this particular point. But I'm looking forward to doing that run, you know, when we go for the world title.
Sorry to surprise you. When you go for the world title, the run changes. Where we go underneath Elephant Castle, and Spencer slightly will tell you about that run.
Okay.
It changed. It get worse. Once he do that run, then we know he's ready for the world title. He done his British European run. That's his run. We will focus on that for a while. Then we will go to our next level. You know.
Yes. Simple,
you know, and then that will show. Is he ready for that level? You know what I mean? Everything is staged at a time. And come to answer your question, the thing is, well, you must remember, you know, when, you know, all things change in the world. When you were fighting, when I was fighting then, you know, if you look through the rating, you look at 50 guys in the rating and all 50 of them could fight because there was just boxing, really boxing alone and football. You know, every now and then you might get a chance in cricket or athletics, but people had to fight them to feed their family, you know? So nobody wasn't giving you nothing easy, you know? So we're sort of, you know, people will say this generation with that generation. The thing is, with what I like about Tunde, to be honest, Tunde says, let's mix the old with the new, you know? And we went on the pads, we chucked some shot, and he showed me some stuff, you know what I mean? And I can't say this stuff ain't no good because you guys know, so we move with times. You understand? Yes. We move with times and certain things is good, certain things ain't. You know, to get certain things done, whether you like it, yes or not, you have to do it the old-fashioned way. You understand? You can't rely on the new way to do it because it will never work. It never going to happen. You understand? If we realize and, you know, just going on the computer and put the thing on our hand and say, yeah, we're ready for a free round. This computer has never done free rounds in his life, so they won't know how your heart gonna feel and what
come on
and how to twist and how to turn and how to hold a man or whatever. You understand me? So there's certain things which gotta be done the old-fashioned way. And if you saying to me, oh, clever was these guys, remember these guys was fighting for a living, so they was very clever. They was teaching you how to hold, how to twist, how to turn, how to avoid a punch, you know. So mixing that with the new stuff, you're only going to get better. You understand? Yes. You're going to get the hard round fighter, you know?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Because, you know, as people know, you know, I was in a lot of Floyd Mayweather camps, from the Cotto camp. I was there for the Cotto camp. I was there for the two Maidana camps. I was there for the Canelo camp. And I never see Floyd do no new school training. I see him come in the gym every day. I see him box, come out the ring of sparring, straight on the bag. Then back on the pads. Then back on the bag. Then groundwork, skipping, sit-ups, press-ups, punching with the dumbbells. Absolutely. That's all I ever saw Floyd do for all the camps.
Yeah.
So I just copy the leader. I just follow the leader. I've never done all the strength and conditioning and all this new age stuff. Not because it's necessarily wrong, because the way I do pads, I look at that as the new technology.
Mm.
You understand? And then the way your mentality, your mindset, your runs and everything is the old school. So what we've done is blend, as you say, is blended the two together.
Yeah, mix and blend.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Because this is what I want to know is this. Archie Moore's got the highest knockout ratio of any world champion. Right? Archie Moore. Hmm. He never pushed weights in his life.
I think James made a good point. James made a good point that the old school fighters, they dealt with more with technique because they was doing it for a living. Where today we know people, you become a millionaire or a multi-millionaire from social media.
110%. Listen, at the end of the day, listen, you know, the fact that at the end of the day, as you say, social media, you know, things change. These guys never had that. You know, these guys never had that. They was going into a place where, you know, only the other supporters or the other people them was there. They never had nobody could, you know, sit down and watch them. So they, you know, for them to eat a dinner, a next plate of dinner at the end of the week, they've got to learn how to survive. You know what I mean? So that sort of skill, as that sort of running and things coming, you know, you can't just take it away and says, you remember these guys who invent what we're doing today. You know, we just add to it. We just had a little bit to it, but it was done. And like Spencer said, if you watch Archie Moore and Muhammad Ali and all these guys, the things they do, do you understand me? The things they do, you know, it's completely different. And they never do it with all this technology and everything, but at the end of the day, they're pretty sound. You know?
Right. Yes. And for anyone who thinks...
was Tommy Hearns, right? Tommy Hearns had a ridiculous knockout ratio. One of the hardest right hands in boxing history. I've never seen Tommy Hearns push no weights.
Yeah, yes. I mean, anyone who thinks James is a yes man as well, I'll give you a point. There was a point in the change room before the fight, yeah? and it was trying to jump with Andy, yeah? And James just cut in. James come in the thing and go, no, we want you step. Give him a step. I said, yeah, bro, this is it. This is what we need, bro. And you know, one thing we never told you, James, me and Anthony had a conversation before, was that, Anthony's like, Unks, you know, like, if James starts shouting in the corner, like, you need to keep calm, because Ant knows I am, because I'll tell man to shut up. I don't business how old you are, if you're not talking my language. But that's actually wrong, because Ant said to me, you know, we got to be calm, Unks. We got to be calm. And I said, no, one thing about me.
Spence, like, Spence, if he showed, there would have been a problem there, Spence. I'm telling you.
I said, one thing about me, see me, the way my dad grew me, I got so much respect for elder people.
Right.
So me and Andy had already worked out in our head. If James starts shouting, just shut your mouth. Just let him shout.
You know, there's one time, you know, I did apologize to Tony because we already said what we was going to do and who was going to do the speaking. And every now and then, you know, I probably come in and say like a word. There's one time Tony was speaking and I actually speak over Tony.
Yeah, that was the third round.
Yeah, because... You know, we really set our mind, but sometimes, like, you know, you're in that motion. You understand me?
And stop there, James. Stop there. That's what we want. And that's what we need. We don't need no yes man in the corner. We don't need no man saying beautiful boxing when it ain't beautiful boxing.
We don't need that.
That
was never going to happen.
I know this, me and Ant knew this, and that's why we both got so much respect for you, James. You know, we got so much respect for you because we're humble, humble students. Because what the hell can me and Anthony tell you what you haven't already done, walked, and wore the t-shirt? It's not possible, you've done it, so we only have the utmost respect for you. And that third round is true what James is saying, because when Anthony went out to the round, and James said to me, Tun, me sorry, we never mean for show at all. I was like, yeah, cool. Don't watch nothing, James. Don't watch nothing. It's all love. Come on. It's all love. Yes, sir. Come on.
I remember in 2000 in Bloomsbury, Ted Barry was fighting, yeah? And Ted lost. So Ted was working with Lloyd Hannigan, yeah? And then he left Lloyd. And Lloyd said, yeah, I'm his manager, right? And you leave me. And you got a James Cook. Well, James Cook can show you, right? and he lost. And when he lost now, Lloyd was there with some little Russian gangster back then, right? So Lloyd went up to Jay, you see, you mash up the boy, you know, you fucking mash up the boy. James went, no!
That's what we need, man. It's just respect, man. It's total respect. And again, sorry, because we don't want to make this about Tunde and Spencer, because this is James' moment. One thing, there was a point I was just going to make about James. Yes, for the first time also, you know, because we've had certain people in our team before doing various jobs, whether it be cuts or what have you, you know, random when we couldn't find no one at the last minute. But one thing what really warmed my heart was moments before the fight, you could see James pacing up and down like he was fighting. I like James. I felt it. I felt it, James. You know, like James was rubbing up the gloves and walking. I said, yes, this is it. Because it's like, you got three fighters in there. You know, Lyndon weren't fighting just Anthony. He was fighting three fighters. Me, James, and Anthony. And Ade. And the energy was so much in the change room. James was overseeing Ade and on the pads. Spence, Anthony threw right hand on Ade. Shit in here. Ade flack. Remember, James? Ade flew across the room. and James said, whoa, Anthony, cool down. We need this man. Saturday was fire. Come on, Saturday. James, I love you, man. I love you, brother. I'm telling you, I've got so much respect for you, man. We got so much. And thank God, again, it's not everybody that will be spiritual. I understand that. Some people don't believe in a higher power.
Yeah, of course.
But Spencer, tell me if I'm lying, if I never phone you and say, James Cook keeps coming into my soul.
1,000,000%.
Told Spencer.
No, imagine. The maddest thing was this year. It was like on my timeline. It was my timeline and it come up on my Facebook of when James came into Sky. And Tunde phoned me and I said, that's mad, Tunde. On my thing is like when I had James on Talk to Talk when I used to do the show at Sky. I said, he just come up, James Cook. I said, look at this. And you're calling his name now. I said, we have to work with Monday, you know.
This thing is real.
I have to work with
him. It's actually real. So
if I was a bad man now, I'd have said, no, forget about James Cook.
Yeah, friends. You can't say that because at the end of the day, you have to tell the people then why you can't say that.
No.
Tell him, P. Tell him why we call him P. Go on, P. Tell him.
Because James Cook's been there for me. And that's how I'm going to be. James Cook was a man that come at my house.
Listen to this. Spencer told me that he's running. I said, Spence, you running? He said, yes, Jimmy, may I run? I said, show me where you run. Right? He said, all right. We meet at Elfland Castle. We go for a run. Right? May I follow him, just drag behind him, just to see the route to where I run. When it comes to certain bridge, Spencer, give this old man some money. Good morning, Spence. Spencer, give him some money. Right? Say we done that the Tuesday, now the Thursday. I said, come on, Pete. May I go show you how we run? So we start running now. So we start to change up gear on him now. So we reach fourth gear now, flat out, just nice and mellow. Read the bridge. The old man said, good morning, Spence. We said, no, Jimmy Cook, Spencer's back down there.
Come on. You made James Cook beat you up on the run, Spencer.
Ton. There's a couple of people that could say about they could run. James Cook was a man, he could run, you know. He paced himself like he's from Ethiopia to Ratin. So, like, run. And it's just like, little things when he's saying, come on, you got to dig deep now. And it's just like, it's just supporting it. Or you see, like, when a man phones you up and says, Spencer, I'm proud of you, you know. When I remember James Cook, when I was with my wife, I was dating then, and we went to the park, me, and my son, we went to the park, and we see James Cook in there. And like James just took my missus and said, come here, and just took my missus. He's like, you know what? Take my number and I'll start him off.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I said, yeah, man. And it's like I said, yeah, I mean, we just moved into our new yard. And that's all of this. This week's been a crazy week. Like, I got to watch the fight on my phone, like I was telling people before, because we ain't gonna internet connected yet. So I had to go do it off of my phone and watch the fight. And just to see when you know, man, you like, I properly know James, I properly know Tunde, I'm probably close. When you see that, and just to see a different anti-yard, it's just a joy. It's a mad joy, especially after everything that Annie Yard went through last year. Not many men could come back from that, you know. I'm just going to be...
Listen, 100%. Listen, at the end of the day, I keep saying to people, I said, what up to this young man? I don't know if I would let him fight, you know. And, you know what I mean? And like I said, he done it. He went out there. So it shows you, you know, in boxing, we got a different mindset. You know, what's lovely about the game as well, as you know, Tunde and Pat, you know, been having war, and I'm saying to people, even with the interview when they jumped me aside and said, Tunde and Pat is over there. So let me tell you something. If you know about boxing and you understand boxing, remember Tunde was a fighter. Pat was a fighter. They're both up there with two great guys who want to win. So they're feeling the heat of their fighters. You're just trying to get ahead of your fighter just to give him that tour. I said, look at the guys, them when they finish, look how they love each other. They hug each other. Tunde said to Pat, I love you, brother, and if you want help, I'll help you. Now, listen, that's not bad mind. You understand me? That is a man saying, brother, I will help you no matter what. You understand me? And you know what? I just think it's great, and it's fantastic, and people know boxing. But why is them who don't understand boxing wouldn't understand that? You know, boxers, we're probably one of the nicest people in the world. You know, but we're trying to get ahead because obviously, you know, if you don't win, there'll be a problem. Listen, at the end of the day, if Anthony didn't go out and win, there'll be a problem. He might, that old lion is sleeping inside the clan still, you understand me? But, you know, but the point is, at the end of the day, this man has come out, you know, and whether people like it or not, he has performed the best performance. This performance, listen.
Electrifying.
Yeah, this performance was, you know, listen, it's not too often you see Frank Warren with a big smile like that. I think,
trust me,
performance. Yes, trust me. Like I said, me and Tunde expect 70 miles an hour. He done it at 90. You understand me? That's the condition and everything just coming to plan. Like what BA says, it's all come together. You understand me?
Yes.
It's come together just right. Everything just time, you know, whether the running, the training, the stopping, everything just come together in the night. He feel good. He feel great. And yes, everybody done their bit, man.
Thank you very much. James, listen, we can go on forever. We can listen to stories. I know you're a busy man. A humble man, a wise man, someone who I can, you know, I look forward to learning more, because you can never stop learning in this sport, especially. But when you've got someone close to you now, we pick up the phone. I think I speak to you more times than I speak to Spencer.
Brother,
now.
Yeah, brother, you speak to me more times than my wife now, brother. Problem now, brother. Spence, I can turn on the phone because it's better ringing me regular now, Spence. I don't know what happened. Man, it's coming free from this brother.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Some people said to me, James, you know, Tunde hung up Pat Barrett, and I said, yeah, sure, love. I said, boy, I'm not sure if I hold him that long, you know, but, you know.
Wait there, James. Spencer, the time Roger Mayweather jumped into the ring when Floyd got low blow from Zab, what would James have done if it had happened to you when he was in your corner? I'm not too sure, but thank you for the £10 donation, my man.
I'm telling you what James would have done. Back then, James coming through. So James had to play this quiet, humble. He's still young them times there. If it was now, James, if a man was a low blow anti-yard, James is swinging. I'll tell you that now for nothing. He's jumping.
Yeah, don't mush up the peas. But yeah, it's just, the whole thing, the whole journey, you know, the journey is far from over. I believe, actually, as Spencer said yesterday, it's a rebirth. You know,
we did
see a Anthony that I've never seen, and I don't, as you say, we've put that down to wisdom. It's wisdom. It's saying the right things to me, to Anthony, at the right time, based on the experience. And I've said it. You can't buy that. And I'm humble enough, Anthony's humble enough to take that. Because me and Anthony, bro, we ain't brothers that you tell what to do.
Sorry to cut you, but you know what? Spence, people phoning me up because, I'm all over the place. Yeah, and, I haven't got time to be checking internet and stories. So, I think the most thing what's sent to me is Tunde, and I just passed them on. Which is great. Yeah. My brother phoned me from South London. You understand me? And he says to me, James, Tunde has given you so much respect, through the interview and through what he's done. It can't be a man who people are saying, you don't want him in the team. You understand me? He said that man, he give you such high praise. And I would say just thanks, man, because you understand me.
My dad, you thanking me, I thank my dad. Because my dad always taught me this. My dad taught me to listen to guys, people that are older, that are wiser. You're not smarter than them. My dad used to say this to me from a child. And I've taken that into my adulthood. And at the same time, I ain't listened to any old fool. And it's got to feel right. The vibes have got to be right. Because I'm a vibes man. I'm an energies man. And your energy has always been pure. It's always been. And just sitting down and having conversations, when we're dropping you back home and we're talking in the car. It's just amazing. It's beautiful. And I feel that if anything, the young generation, especially the people that come from our environments, listen to the elders, because they've been where you've been. They got the experience.
100%.
You can learn. You can save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of pain by listening to the wise elders.
No, you're totally right, Tony. And it's like what I'm saying to people. Me and Spencer have this argument. Well, not argument. We speak about it every day we see each other. The young generation, the young youth. We'll say to them, listen, at the end of the day, you must realize parents, it's not because they don't love you or they may not like you, but we don't know what some of our parents been through. And some of them been through tough time, And if parents said, we'll do it, we'll grow up on this, I want to make our way. If somebody said to you, don't go down that road. There's a reason why they said, don't go down that road. You understand me? And we may still do it. And when we go down there, we said, oh, Lord, God, what's going to happen? That's the first thing we're cool. You understand me? But there's a reason why they said, don't go down that road. You understand me? And I say it every day. And like you, Tunde, I grew up in Jamaica where, my parents used to say, son, what's yours is yours. That's not yours. They're not going to bear you with that. You didn't come in this world with this. Learn to be grateful. Learn to have what you have. That's why, as you say, nothing, don't excite me in that thing. Spencer will tell you, I have a old car. It's my old car. I argue with it. It's mine. I'm not excited about things like that. I'm not excited. Now, I'll tell my kids them now to buy me Nike because I'm getting Adidas like crazy now. So now they've got to go Nike shoes to keep up with the Adidas stuff.
Hey, I've got two big boxes of Adidas gear here for you, I was supposed to bring it for you yesterday, actually. You're suited Adidas now. Tell the wife, don't worry about Adidas. We got that unlocked. But ladies and gentlemen, it has been an honor and a pleasure.
Where you go? Let me just tell you one more story.
Okay, go ahead.
I went to my cousin Joanne's funeral, mom's funeral, passing, and Joanne used to get her hair done by Miss Carmen, James's missus, yeah? And I was coming back from the funeral, I was driving through Hackney, So in the cars, me, my mom, I want my family in the car, and Lexus them times there, brand new. I bust the corner and then the police stopped me. So as the police stopped me now, out of nowhere, I'm in Hackney, like, I don't know where James come from, you know, he just appeared. He just said, look, that's my fighter, you can't do nothing to my fighter. Yeah. Nuts on the police show, but in Hackney, you know, James is a legend in Hackney, you know, because everybody
knows. Trust me.
So there's about 40 people come gather around the police, you know. They're like, he said, all right, son, we're not gonna, we just wanted to know, we just want to say he's a nice car. And he just jumped in, they just jumped in about a draw. James is a bad man. Man's respects, bro.
Sir. Yes, sir. Respect is earned, not given.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, sir. Anyway, in closing, it was James, believe me, brother. I should even be calling your uncle, but brother. Me and your brother used to roll on the roads together. Me and Brian. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, me and Brian. Absolutely. And then, what's the other brother that I used to play football with? The older one.
Evans.
Me and Evans used to play football.
Yeah, Evans.
People don't know these things.
Yeah, no, the absolutely.
Cook family around our bits is a legendary family. And, you know, there's a lot of brothers and a lot of respect. And let me just say, none of the cooks got their respect for being bad men. All good-hearted, clean-hearted individuals. And it's all love. It's all love. So thank you, James. Anything in closing, sir?
Well, Spence. I'm going to pick up Spence. Tunde, you're good because my head is that's them coming. Spence, you move into this big five-bedroom house. That's where you need a car to carry it from one room to the next room. Spence, you need to come and say, come in and get trim up in a region. Listen, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to see both of you guys doing your stuff, man. I'm very proud of you guys, man. So well done.
James.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But and James, tell Tunde what my question.
Yeah, Tunde.
Yes.
Spence, same wanting things, you know what I mean? Spence. Yarning to that about that, you know what I mean?
Yo, Spence has been getting free things for years, man.
Tunde, don't forget, Spence, I have one of them golf buggy to drive him to the bedroom, you know, from... so big, bro, you understand me? Yeah, from one bedroom, you need one of them buggy, you know, to drive him in public to the bedroom.
Yeah, so good night. Spence has gone clear. All right, don't let me hold you up anymore, James. Thank you so much.
Bless you, man. Thanks, guys.
It was definitely an honor and a pleasure having you on the show. I know there was people on there saying, how can we like this thing twice? Because they enjoyed the show so much. And that's down to you, James.
Like it twice. Just send some cash.
Listen, behave yourself, man. Behave yourself. All right, people, 136 people on the live. Please press that like button, subscribe to the channel, and we should be back on Saturday. From Hackney, live from Hackney.
Yes, from Hackney. Yes.
Yes, sir. All right, people.
You guys, Saturday.
We end the way we always do, week in, week out, by saying, dream it, believe it, become it.
Come on down. Plum pleasing pleasure to have my Uncle James and my brother, Sunday, and the man behind the cam, Gary Blake. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining the show. It's The Fight Is Right.
Thanks, guys. Good night.